This is Digital Story Podcast number 512, December 29th, 2015. Today's theme is My Blunders in 2015. I'm Derek Story. There's a lot of looking back going on this time of year, isn't there? The highlights of 2015. The best of the best. And the various great accomplishments made by others. But I doubt that you'd be that interested in my shining moments. Plus, a lot of them are personal anyway. So I have a different idea for this show. How about my blunders? Now that's something we all can learn from, right? I know I certainly have. So the theme of this week's show focuses on three business missteps that I made over the last 12 months. Now that sounds intriguing, doesn't it? My 2015 miscalculations. So I made three business choices this year that just didn't pan out. And I'm going to tell you the story of each and then give you my takeaway from each. Now, I'm not telling this to you to bum you out or anything. These are fun, right? No harm done. I had a great year. Everything's fine. I'm rolling along. This is part of business. This is part of being an entrepreneur. This is part of trying things, finding out how they do, and then if they don't work out, learn from those mistakes. If they do work out, then you just thank your lucky stars and say, all right, we got one. So that's the spirit of these stories. And I'm going to start out with the first one here. Who cares about Cuba? Boy, I was so excited when I found out that I got this gig in Cuba in January of 2015. It was something that I had wanted to do, and I couldn't believe I was going to be able to go there. I was working. I was taking pictures. I was helping facilitate others, getting great shots. And then I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to have all this content. I'm going to have this great experience. What if I shared that with other people? Because now is the time to go if you're a photographer. Now's the time to go before everything changes. Relations are thawing. But essentially, the Cuba I saw in January was the same Cuba that was there in 1960. So I pulled some strings and I got this title fast-tracked for lynda.com. And I got this ebook thing with Rocky Nook. And we were going to publish this stuff and just really share the knowledge and share the excitement. It would just be wonderful. It'd be fantastic. And I invested a lot of time. Not only did I invest January being in Cuba, but then February and March, you know, working on this content after I got back to prepare it for production and publishing and all that stuff. So what happened? My Cuba title is at the bottom of the heap in terms of views and generating revenue compared to these other, what I consider helpful, but not nearly as thrilling software titles. And in fact, Up and Running Photos for OS X, my number one title with Lynda for 2015. And it's a good title, and I'm proud of it, and I like it, and I'm happy, I'm thankful. But really, compared to Cuba, I would have never guessed. So I really invested the first 3 months of the year in this project. I had a great experience, and that will always be with me. It's going to go down as one of my best trips of all time. So that will always be there. But in terms of a business decision, I learned that a lot of people don't care about travel to exotic places, at least as much as I do, and especially places with a checkered past in terms of U.S. relations. So learned my lesson with Cuba. I could have just kept it to the trip and left it at that. I probably should have and spent those other couple of months working on other projects. All right, my next one. This one is titled, Don't Reinvent the Wedding. So my next brainstorm was, and you know, part of this came out of the fact that I was beginning to figure out I was going to lose my associate editor job with CT Digital Photography Magazine in 2016, and I needed to replace some of that revenue. And I thought, well, let's do something that I like to do, which is shoot weddings. I haven't done it for a while. I took a 7-year break. And I'm glad I did. And I thought, I'll go back to it with fresh eyes. I'll put all these innovations in. I'll make it super easy for the client. God, this can't miss. And I'm going to call it Reinvent the Wedding. So I did that. I built the site. I formulated the whole concept. I built things into the product that, for instance, I would publish to an online gallery during the course of the wedding and already have the URL ready for people on cards at their table so that guests and the bridegroom could actually see the ceremony pictures while they were still at the wedding and even add to them. I would do things like make it really easy to sign up for this thing and reserve a spot. And then we would, you know, talk on Skype or in person, you know, once they knew that they had that wedding date secured. And I'd keep the price reasonable and it'd all be right there. So there'd be no haggling over price, no upselling, no fooling around with all that stuff. I mean, really, in my brain, this was gold. And that's as far as it got. People just don't like the name. It's too cold, Reinvent the Wedding. I should have gone with something far more warm and fuzzy. People don't necessarily want to sign up a new way. They think they like the older way. Or they just want to have Uncle Bob shoot it, you know, for free, or give them, you know, $300-$400. And I don't think most people really care about all the little innovative stuff that I came up with during the shoot itself. So my takeaway is that apparently weddings don't need to be reinvented. Everyone seems fine with the way that it is now. And keep with the fuzzy names for fuzzy events. Don't get all cool and cold and tech and edgy. So what am I going to do? I'm probably going to just redesign the site. I'm going to definitely give it a new name. Just rebrand it. Get a new URL. Toss the business cards that I have right now. And start over with it. And go back to the roots the way that I did it before. And don't try to, as they say, reinvent the wheel. Because some wheels just don't need to be redesigned. And I think that's the case with weddings. So anyway, there was another big chunk of time that has yet to yield any fruit. Don't reinvent the wedding. My third one. So this is where I thought a partnership would be a good idea. And it's called No New Podcast After All. So the story on this is I have this podcast called The Nimble Photographer. I have a whole bunch of them written. I have 5 of them recorded, ready to go. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to partner with somebody and do it that way instead of me just doing it by myself the way I do the digital story? I had these talks with the folks at TWIP, This Week in Photo. They were excited about it. I said, yes, let's do this. So do this and this, and we will launch this thing in July. I had a July date. I did this and this. We didn't launch in July. I did some more stuff to kind of make it easier for them. Thought, well, this will move it along. We still haven't launched. We're at December 29th, still haven't launched. In fact, I don't even know when we're going to launch. And so instead of having a head of steam going into 2016 with this new show, I've got no new show in 2016, at least not yet. And my takeaway on this is partnerships are great, but you really have to think them through. And I know this. I mean, there's a reason why I run my business, the Digital Story and the Nimble Photographer, by myself. Because what I've learned is other people aren't as excited about what I do as I am. At least other people that have to, you know, provide work. You know, provide capital, provide whatever. And, you know, if you stop and think about it, that makes perfect sense. If we have the vision, you know, we have to see it through. That has been my mantra, really, for the last, you know, 10 years. And, you know, I kind of got away from it a little bit. And I put a lot of work into this partnership thing with a nimble photographer. And now I'm going to have to do a couple things. One is, I guess we have to have a conversation about, with my potential partner, about me pulling it back. And then, you know, I'm going to have to sort of redesign it to be, you know, just on the site, thenimblephotographer.com, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with all of that. So I learned another lesson there about partnerships. Really, don't expect others to be as excited about your art and your ideas as you are, especially if they have to, you know, do stuff around it. And I miscalculated on that. I think I knew that one. So that was actually a lesson that I had to relearn. And I think I have. So those were my three big business blunders in 2015. Getting overly excited about Cuba. Really thinking I could reinvent the wedding. And then entering into a partnership that really wasn't as interested in the project as I am. And I think I've learned some lessons there. And I'm going to take that new information and go into 2016 and let's see what happens. Let's see if I can turn these around. Cuba is Cuba. It's done. But see if I can turn around the wedding thing and see if I can turn around the Nimble Photographer podcast. Stay tuned. I'll keep you posted. And let's see if this time next year I can say, all right, here's what I learned, here's what I did, and here's how it turned out. In the news, the first leaked photos of the Fujifilm X-Pro2. And this was covered by Petapixel. Fujifilm helped kick off the mirrorless camera revolution back in 2012 by announcing the powerful retro-styled X-Pro1 camera. Now, it appears that a follow-up will soon be up on us. First official photos of the new Fujifilm X-Pro2 have been leaked. The camera will reportedly be officially announced on January 15th, 2016. If you listen to the show, you know I like Fujifilm cameras a lot. I think they're terrific. And so looking at the photos, I think they're legit. And I think this new X-Pro2 is going to be a beautiful camera. The shots I saw on it had the new 35mm f2 lens, which I'm very high on. It was one of my picks for 2015. And I just think that Fujifilm continues to move the ball forward. And I think this is a great body if you have an X-T1 and you want you know, a different styled body, but yet all your lenses work with it and more of a rangefinder kind of thing, then definitely look at this camera. But I'm excited about it. I can't wait to see what the reception's going to be on it. I can't wait to see what the pricing's going to be on it. And it sounds like we'll know a lot more about it in about 2 weeks on January 15th. Virtual matte frames printed directly from your inkjet. I've been working more with Image Framer, and I talked about last week, I did kind of an introduction to it, and I talked about using Image Framer for your holiday cards, which I did, and it turned out really well. Then I thought, well, you know, what's the next thing I'm going to do with it? I mean, this is an application that is just fun to play with. This is one of those great late night applications when you just really want to do something creative. And because really what you do is you open up the app and you have this canvas and you drop a photo on it, a photo that you want to work on. And then you just play with creating mats and frames and, you know, all these different things. And we're going to talk about different uses for it over the next couple of weeks. So the one that I got into this last week was I did some portraits. I had to do a whole bunch of portraits for, I'm recording a Capture One Pro 9 essential training for Linda. And I wanted really nice stuff as the content because this is a serious app for professionals and enthusiasts. I want a really good content. So I did these portrait shoots, especially for this training. So I'd have new stuff that looked exactly the way I wanted to look. And I got some great portraits. So I took some of my favorite portraits from one of the shoots and I dropped them into Image Framer. And I started creating these virtual mats, and you can control everything. You can control everything from color to size to textures, all that. You start out with templates, which is what I do. I pick a template that's close, but then I play with it and get it exactly the way that I want. So then once I had it designed the way I want, I'd save it as a template, and then I would output the image with the virtual mat on it to my desktop, and then I'd do a print. And what I was printing on for this set of portraits, I was using Aurora Fine Art Natural from Red River Paper, this beautiful matte paper. So the images are coming out, they're edge to edge, right? No, they're full bleed with the portrait and then these cool virtual mats that I had on there. And they're really nicely designed and they're subtle and they look fantastic. And what a difference looking at a print that has, you know, this frame on it compared to one that's just printed edge to edge. Using the frame, by designing the frame, you're able to pull out tones in the image that you really want to jump out. And it actually becomes a different image. And now, what I could do if I wanted, is I literally could just slide this output into a frame and I'm done. It would look really good. I have them laying out around right now so people can pick them up and look at them. But either way, it has really enhanced my enjoyment of these images a lot. And I know that I can always go back and add more. In fact, ImageFramer has this one command that once you get a frame exactly the way you want, then you can just replace the image with another picture and then save that and keep doing that. Here's the part where I think it really gets good is when you output it to your inkjet printer, hand it to somebody and see what they say. See if they talk about the image, see if they talk about how you've enhanced it at the border. So that's my tip this week for ImageFramer. Jacob has set up a landing page for us, specifically for TDS listeners. Just go there. He has three different versions of the app. He has a discount on everything. There's more information about it. Everything that you'd want. The link is in the show notes. There's a tile on all the pages of the Digital Store. You can click on that and it'll take you right there. It's the easiest way to go. I'll tell you, it's a lot more fun than watching TV. Products we love. The Lightning to SD Card Camera Reader. Now, this has been around for a while. This is the little SD card reader that you could plug into your iPad with the SD card in it and upload the pictures from your camera to your iPad using Photos for iOS. But as of iOS 9.2, you can now use it with your iPhone. And this is a whole different ballgame. I mean, I love using my iPad. I use my iPad mini all the time. But the idea of being able to use my iPhone 6S when I don't want to bring the iPad, when I just want to carry my camera and this, and I'm talking about cameras that don't have Wi-Fi. I'm talking about my Fujifilm X20, which is a camera I love shooting with, but it doesn't have Wi-Fi. And, you know, I have an iFi card for it, and sometimes it does what I want, sometimes it doesn't. You know how these things are. Or I could just carry this little Lightning connector now and just basically stop for a cup of coffee, connect it to my iPhone, take the pictures that I want. You know, you just select the ones you want. I wrote an article. There's an article in Digital Story about this. And then you're done, and then you can go ahead and you have them in your photo stream, and you can use them for sharing online. You can go to Instagram. You can edit them. You can do whatever you want. I just think that now this $29 device allows me to use cameras that don't have Wi-Fi that I love with my state-of-the-art iPhone that I really like. And it's just a thing that works. So my product set we love is the Lightning to SD Card Camera Reader from Apple, $29. And what really makes it sing now is iOS 9.2 that allows me to use it with my iPhone 6S. Member quotes of the week. Intelligent comments culled from the Digital Story Facebook page. So, in regard to Friday's Facebook post, Merry Christmas to all who celebrate, and don't forget to take the group shot, we have some terrific comments that I want to share with you now. And the idea of the post is, you know, if you're with friends and family during the holidays, that's fantastic. And if you do nothing else, get a group shot. Get a group shot, because that is the one shot that just tells the whole story. You don't have to be a photographer during the whole celebration. Just gather everyone together, do that group shot. That's all you need. Okay. So Brenda wrote, so I published one. I published one that I did on Christmas Eve with my family. And Brenda wrote, always good when the photographer gets in the image. Merry Christmas, Derek. Looking forward to another year of listening to your podcasts. And yes, I do get in the shots. That's the other thing about a group shot that's cool. You get in the shots. When you're taking all the other shots, you're not in them. In the group shot, you can either use remote control or self-timer, and you are in the shots too. And thank you for noticing, Brenda. Preston added, Merry Christmas, Mr. Story. You are photography's George Bailey. And in case you don't know or remember who George Bailey is, he is the star of It's a Wonderful Life. Classic holiday film. Thank you, Preston. And Mike finished with, Merry Christmas, Derek Story. Hope you had a wonderful holiday. And yes, no one at my place touches a gift until we get the family pic. That, that is definitely one way to do it, Mike. And I haven't quite gotten that programmed about it yet, but if they ever give me any pushback, I'm going to keep that in my back pocket. So thank you, everyone, for commenting, and you know all the other folks who commented on that picture, too. And just remember that I read all the comments on our Digital Story Facebook page, facebook.com/thedigitalstory. I try to run everything through there, so it's a great place to keep track of what's going on. Print those holiday group shots. So speaking of group shots and printing and all that stuff, I just want to remind you that if you get the group shot, go ahead and send it to everyone. That's what I recommend, you know, and I just do the regular email attachment thing. Send it to everyone. But then the next step that I recommend is make prints. Make some prints of these group shots and have those also in your family archives. And this came to mind again because the other day, Teresa found a book. It was in storage that had all these great photos in it from decades ago. A lot of group shots, a lot of things that were taken at family gatherings. I don't think we would have found them any other way as files or email attachments or anything else. But we found this book of prints and we have them. And that just speaks to, there's something about putting it on paper that increases the odds of it being there for generations to come. Just a reminder from me and from Red River Paper, prints, in addition to digital files, probably a good way to go, especially with those memories that mean a lot to you. Software download, DxO Optics Pro for photos. So there's a new editing extension for photos for OS X. We're really seeing these things start to roll out now. And the one that I was playing with this last week is DxO Optics Pro for photos. And there's actually two flavors. There's one flavor that's just for people who own the DxO One camera, which I do. And I love this because the workflow for that camera wasn't easy, in all honesty. There's too many apps involved. So now I just load the editing extension into Photos for OS X, running on El Capitan. And when I take my pictures, I can process the pictures, I can do lens corrections, raw files, all that stuff right there in my Photos for OS X environment, which means then it's propagated to all my devices and is just automatically backed up in the cloud and everything. It's so much easier, so much better. But they went another step. They also introduced an app for people that shoot with all the common cameras and lens combinations out there. It's sort of like their DxO Optics Pro, but it's a editing extension version, which means it's streamlined. It has lens corrections. It has clear view. has noise reduction, has, you know, like all the kind of really cool stuff. But it works with your Olympus, Panasonic, Canon, Nikon camera and lens combinations. It's $9.99 right now. It's on special. And is really a nice addition to photos for OS X. And I like the way DxO processes RAW files. I've always liked the way they process RAW files. And being able to have the software as a $10 editing extension for photos for OS X, I think is really sweet. I like it a lot. Now, the only hiccup that I ran into testing it was that every now and then it would not recognize one of my camera lens combinations. For example, it would recognize my Olympus OMD EM10 body, but it didn't recognize the 17mm f1.8 lens. Now, I still got great results with it. I just couldn't do the lens corrections, but I could do clear view, noise reduction, haze, all that stuff. And I think that probably will get ironed out in a future update because they have the modules for that combination. Just some reason, the editing extension wasn't fetching that particular module that was needed. And so, and if you read the comments, the reviews for the app in the App Store, in the Mac App Store, which is where you can get this app, you'll see that a few other people had the same issue. But I did a lot of testing on a whole bunch of different combinations, and I would say out of 10 combinations, I probably had one or two that didn't load. And I'm anticipating they will up the road. So anyway, I think it's very interesting. If you want to play with DxO processing, if you want to, you know, get some of the benefits of the cool tools that they have brought to the table, ClearView being one of my favorites, then this is a very affordable way to do it. I don't know how long the sale is going to last, but even after it goes off sales, it'll still be $19.99. Right now it's $9.99. I have it in my photos for OS X, and I'm totally digging it. All right, I think that's going to do it for this week. So we've all learned a few things together, haven't we? And that's my way of looking back on 2015. I am ready to go for 2016. I do have a head of steam with the newsletter. By the way, there is a new edition of the newsletter coming out Wednesday. This podcast comes out on Tuesday. And then I'll have a new edition of the newsletter on Wednesday. If you haven't signed up for it, you should do it. You can do it any number of places. You can do it in the member area of thedigitalstory.com. You can do it in the contact area of thenimblephotographer.com. I'm going to run some more goodies in there. Remember, stuff goes in the newsletter you don't get anywhere else. And that'll come out on Wednesday of this week. The newsletter comes out every other week. I think the podcast is in great shape. We did some retooling this year on it, and I'm feeling really good about it. And we're going to keep that going in 2016. And then, as you may have suspected, I'm working on some new stuff too. And per our conversation earlier today, I'm sure not all of it will pan out, but I'm also sure that some of it will. We're going to do it all together. Thank you so much for joining me in 2015. I love this virtual camera club. I love this community. I cannot tell you how much I care about it. Thank you. And let's move into 2016 together. We'll win some, we'll lose some, but we'll keep moving forward. How's that sound? Have a happy new year. God bless all of you, and I'll see you in 2016. Bye-bye now.